Hello. Very quickly, I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. The help of the Lord. Than ever. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We love you. How many of you know how to praise God and give glory to Him? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We enter into your presence through faith with the authority given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you. Worship you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to your precious and holy name. Glory to your precious and holy name. Glory to your precious and holy name. Hallelujah. Above all else, guard your heart. Remember what I told you right now before entering to this recording? Just guard your heart from not having hate against anyone through what's happening right now. No person, no matter who it is, if they're a president, a governor, any politician, any brother in Christ, always guard your heart. Because the word of God does not change. Times change, politics in countries change, parties change, but God doesn't. Someone say amen. So we're going to see something that I believe we all lack. Church, see what I also see in the body of Christ. It's something that people know what the reason why as Christians or as children of God, we do not value the praise and worship in the congregation. The reason is because we do not praise God the most that we should in our personal lives. And that's a big part of walking faith. It's part of the rest. So let's take place on where I left it off last. The power of praise and worship. Praise and thanksgiving. When I say praise, I'm talking about praise and worship congregational. Although it's part of it, as I just said, it's not valued because we do not spend the sufficient amount of time in our time with the Lord. Although it should be something as a 24/7 lifestyle. I believe it was here in this church where I was asked, I don't know if perhaps Alex Gracia or someone asked me, and then also, I was asked in other areas, Pastor, how much time do you pray throughout the day? And those who have asked me, I say, 24 hours a day. And they tell me, what? So what time do you eat? What time do you sleep? What time do you use the restroom? Because prayer is an attitude. And you can do it. I told them, I pray 24 hours a day and I don't spend more than 20 minutes without praying. I'll tell you how. Spend more than 20 minutes go by that I do not pray. So what time do you do what you have to do? What time do you work? While I do everything that I do. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. It's where we left off last time. Isaiah 28. One time we were recording for Kingdom and Government. And we were also doing some recordings for television. And we were in the area where we record. So the lights were very strong. I had already recorded about two sessions for Kingdom and Government. One or two extractions for television as well. And I said, you know what? I just need a quick rest. Or, you know what? Let's just stop it there and we'll come another day. And the lights were very strong in front of me. So Alan came and fixed the lights even better. So while he was there, they heard his eyes and I said, well, you see what I feel with these lights in front of me? Isaiah 28. Where we left it off last time. To whom he said, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue. So one of the definitions that I gave you for stammering or to stammer is to make fun of. Make fun of, to mock, to ridicule, to stammer, to speak unintelligibly, to make fun of. But it's not when people make fun of us. Those who do not believe in tongues, more so, it's God, it's the Spirit of God in us, it's us or God in us making fun of the enemy, because he who speaks in tongues, well, no one understands him, neither the devil. So when we pray in tongues, how it goes. And this is something very important, because look at what verse 12 says. To whom he said, look, this is the rest. See that? This is what? The rest. With which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. So that word refreshing from the Hebrew means something refreshing. Something soothing. In the Hebrew, it also means revitalize. Revitalize. To give life again. Revitalize. And notice this one more time. And this is a refreshing. Something refreshing or soothing. Something revitalize. And it also means to give vigor. To give vigor. Give strength. In your natural body, yes, but it all starts from the inside out. It's spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Yes, it's true that in the natural, sometimes we get tired. Normally, we live in a mortal body. We get tired, we sleep, or perhaps we rest some time on the couch. But I'll tell you this one more time. And it's not that I'm trying to get in your personal lives. But I was seeing three statistics from three different companies. And according to them, and you perhaps you can even see it on the internet, they say that just here in the United States, the average person, the average person can go daily. You know what daily is? So including Sunday and Saturday, and perhaps Sunday and Saturday even more, but daily, they spend about 5 to 6 hours daily on their cell phones. Not in one go, but they do spend a lot of time. Another statistic says that some spend from 9 to 10 hours. And the other one said they could spend almost up to 12 hours. Those are people who have to work, perhaps in front of a computer, or with a phone or an iPad, which is part of the work. But apart from that, in their personal time on their personal cell phones. So if you do the math, if someone were to live about 85 years of age, around 35 years of their life, they spent it on their phone. Don't you think that's a waste of time? And what happens is you're just wasting your eyesight more. You're wasting your tiring your physical and your brain as well. Not that I'm trying to get in your personal life, but it does happen. We see it now in the youth. And it's not my intention to get into your personal life, but I'm just doing it to help you, which is why I avoid, and me personally, Brother Hughes, I've thought in perhaps a few months, I will just buy me those flip phones. When I just want to call, because I personally avoid this. The only reason why I use them to communicate with people. And apart from that, on my iPad and other things like that, I have dictionaries, notes, translations, but I avoid them. You'll be surprised. When I'm going to use it, I counted it. 22 messages from WhatsApp from different people. It took a couple hours. I had 10 messages or 8 messages, text message, 22 from WhatsApp, and about 7 missed calls from different people. I just don't use it because I say, if it's an emergency, trust me, they'll get in contact with me. They're called Nuvia or they're called my children. Of course, I do return the calls. Kayla, can you testify that I do? And then she smiles because I'll sometimes have a missed call from Kayla and then I'll call her back. I said, I'm returning the phone call from 3 days ago. No one can't say that I don't return phone calls sometimes. 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, but I'll call you back. My children know that. Glory to God. Now notice what it says here. More time. This is the refreshing. So what does refreshing mean? Soothing, refreshing something. What was that? Something to revitalize and something to give vigor. Enter into rest. So I'm going to say this without criticizing or judging anyone. But millions and millions of people, God bless them, but they don't understand what I'm talking about. God bless them, but many of them are very tired, frustrated. And it's fine. We can pray one for another. But there's something that every single person could do. And that's enter into the rest. I'm not going into detail, but there are some things that, man, I'm going through. And in some situations, I'm not going to talk about them yet. I'll tell you it as a testimony. And I told Nubi and I told one person that I know, I said, right now, I can't do any other thing but be in the rest of the Lord. And I'm in the rest. But what is being in the rest? It means that in the middle circumstances, we're going to be just lying down on our sofa in one hand with the remote control in the other, our phone? No. Being in the rest, one of them is you continue your daily life. Notice, you continue doing your daily life. Look what I'm going to say. As if nothing is going on. I'm not saying that nothing is going on. I'm saying it's as if nothing bad is going on. You understand that? So, while you're doing your daily life, as if nothing is going on, you do this. Let's remember one more time. And I'm telling you this way to give better understanding, not criticize anyone. But again, millions and millions of Christians do not understand of having a relationship or a revelation of the love of God. They do not have a revelation of the unconditional love of God, the finished works of Christ Jesus. Better said, or moreover, most of Christians operate in a condemned conscience or a sin conscience. And a sin conscience, always a sin conscience, help me Father to explain this, will give you the impression to you, not that it's like that, but it will give you the impression that God is mad with you. And that every bad thing that's going on is that you deserve it. Again, the majority of Christians, God bless them, not a criticism, I want to help them. They have a sin conscience instead of having a revelation of the unconditional love of God, of the finished works of Christ Jesus. Moreover, I should add that it should give you a revelation of your identity in Christ. Amen. One more time. It will give you a revelation of your identity in Christ. But the majority of them walk in a sin conscious. And then, those who are mature, can you evaluate if I'm being harsh towards people or if what I'm saying is correct? I think what I'm saying is, I don't want to be critical. I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing anyone. But then we have, again, the pulpits. Many pulpits of preachers, all they preach is, they say to preach a gospel, and all they preach is dead works, or all they preach is what God requires from them. Instead of preaching what we are, what we have in Christ, of preaching your new identity, so that faith is lifted up in you. What many of them do, and I come from those traditions, and again, I don't want to judge them. Job. Yes, Brother Hughes. But even pastors have, they told me through the phone, we have to preach sin, we have to preach hell. Now, do you think that's the solution? Preach sin and hell? You know what you're going to do with preaching sin? A sin conscious. There's a difference between telling what the Bible, look, this is not correct, this will bring you consequences, this is wrong, and going with the Bible. But give you the solution. There's a difference in biblical instruction or biblical correction to condemnation. Know the difference? The biblical instruction or correction will tell you, this is wrong. It will tell you, this is wrong, stop doing this, etc. But it will always remind you who you are in Christ. And it will remind you that you can do all things in Christ. And it will remind you your position in Christ. The condemnation, all it does is tell us how wrong we are, how miserable we behave, and that's it. So let's suppose that one of you is just very wrong. You're cold, you're being disobedient and all that, and then you come here to church. In every service, I'm hitting you on how wrong you are. The first thing you could say is, well, I know. Because all those types of preachings do is they magnify the sin of the people. It's my job is not to magnify your sin. Not my job. My job is to instruct you with the Bible to get out of your place. It's not my job to magnify sins. For example, if you walk in disobedience, know that. You know it, do you not know it? You know that you're wrong. If you don't want to get out of that, do you think I'm going to obligate you? Neither God does obligate you. It's within biblical instruction, if you understand. And to understand is that it starts with you wanting to. Say, Father, help me. Help me to understand by faith. Well, many Christians are not walking in the rest because they don't know what to do anymore. I've talked with many Christians for many years, and they tell me, no, I'm wrong, and I know I've given place to the devil, and I know that this, I know that I'm wrong, and that's all they tell me, and I know, 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 and I know that I'm wrong, and I know that I'm cold, and I know that I have to change. The thing is, they can't change. The reason why they can't is because they have more of a sin conscience than what they are in Christ. They'll never be able to get out of that. First, you have a revelation. You have to have a revelation. Works of Christ Jesus and his incondition, or vice versa, however you want to understand it. Then, when you have that revelation, you know what will come in? You will now believe I receive it, believe the promises of what Christ paid for. But what is yours? And if you believe that you receive it, you receive it, you believe that you receive it, what's next? Enter into the rest of God. Part of entering into the rest of God is this, is praying a lot in tongues. When you're praying in the Spirit, another thing that we do when we're in the rest of God is a lot of thanksgiving, which is why you believe that you receive it. For I thank you that I believe that I receive it. From their glory to God, a lot of thanksgiving. And that's what the believer does, or the Christian does. Please, they don't give thanksgiving. You know what Christian does a lot? Again, how many are you understanding that this is to help you? This is to referring to you personally. Now, if you're doing something wrong, well, now do it correctly. That's the biblical instruction. What you do, which is why we spend more time speaking and giving thanks to the Lord. This is the rest and the refreshing. What does the Bible say? And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear in verse 12. If you don't want, again, as I said, God will not obligate you. And if God won't obligate you because you don't want to, do you think I can obligate you? One of the questions that I have been asked by my many pastors, I'm going to go to another verse, chapter 30. Again, thank you. Right there. Are you understanding this? This is very good. Isaiah 30, 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Again, what does it say there? In quietness, verse 15, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Now, saved is also translated to rescue. In whatever situation you're going through, it's this. In quietness and confidence. You can't have confidence, my brothers and sisters, if you do not enter into the rest. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, verse 16, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue, you shall be swift. In other words, verse 16 is saying, no, for we will flee on horses, as to say, these people said, no, we're going to do what we want to do. We're not going to consult you, God. That's what I was talking on Tuesday. We take quick decisions because we're under pressure. And I understand you, brothers and sisters. I understand you. I've been under pressure. Sometimes throughout my personal life, ministerial life, I've been under pressure. I've been under pressure. I've felt desperate. I've felt frustrated. Notice what I mark on feeling, but I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. And I have to ignore my feelings. We have to walk by faith. Amen. Yesterday in the afternoon, it was around time, maybe a little bit early, already nighttime, I saw my daughter Summer lying down on the floor, on the carpet in our living room. She grabbed a pillow, and she had a towel on top of her eyes. Moist, and my wife had told me that she had thrown up. She said, you know what? It seems like she has a migraine. So I went to the living room. And she was between and awake. And it seems that when she gets those things, the light and noise bothers her. And I started pampering her and cuddling her. And then I knelt down. And she had that towel between her eyes. Untucked and just up of that pillow. Before putting hands on her. Father, my God, what's in this situation? What am I doing? Depending on God. That in prompting. Did I start doing it? Seraph quickly just, oh, my, what's wrong, daughter? Oh, this is, and then being worried and saying, oh, well, she's my daughter. I have to get worried. Of course she's my daughter. I don't want to see her like that. I understand that part. But I do have a human side as my daughter. So human with human, I can't help her. I need the supernatural. I knelt down. Father, thank you. Put a smile on my mouth. Put hands on her. Said, migraine? I curse you. Before rushing, that's another thing. More time. Before getting rushed with the whole Jesus thing in my mouth. Instead of just thinking how many times I have to say in the name of Jesus. That's another reason why people don't believe. They're more conscious of how many times they're going to say, because they haven't understood that in the name of Jesus would in representation. They haven't understood it. They think that it's a magical formula. It's just 2 + 2 = 4. When you have a safe where you say left, right, 3 knocks on the door. A couple of days ago, I think I was watching Chompiras and Botijas, and one of them went inside to rob a safe. And Botijas was like this, look, making sure no one was coming. And he said, 2 turns? He was going, okay, 2 turns to the left? Like that. I don't remember. That's how many Christians think. They think that it's some magical formula. And they're more conscious that, oh, they have to say in the name of Jesus. Because if not, it's not going to work. It's pure religion. You have to understand this. Put hands on her. And I waited to receive that prompting. Just a few seconds. And I waited. But before that, I just started. I called on his help. I was depending on him with the faith of Jesus connected to the grace of God. Do you understand that? He said, migraine? I curse you. Dry up. Quit existing in this body. Said a few more words. Said it with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Summer, I don't know if she was awake, asleep. I don't know. I think she was between conscious and unconscious. As in, it's not she was passing up, just between asleep and awake is what I'm referring to. I stayed there. And in that moment, one of my cats came by. That's all gray. Remember, I presented. There's a little. Oh, he's like this. About a year old. And I grabbed him and just started cuddling him. And he got near Summer. I don't remember. Let's see. Where's Summer? Did she give you? How long did that go? Where I prayed for you and then literally she got up. She removed that towel soaked in water, she removed that blanket and she sat up, grabbed the cat and started pampering her. And she said, Dad, nothing hurts me anymore. Glory to God. How long? About 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And she had thrown up in the car. Suddenly, I saw when she got up, sat up right there on the floor. She didn't stand up, but she was on the kneeling on the floor, and we just started talking. We got the cat between us. We were just pampering the cat. kissing your cat. You say, oh, you kiss your cat. Well, you kiss your husband and we don't say anything about you. So in that moment, she said, Dad, nothing hurts me anymore. Fine. Glory to God. Glory to God. No, it wasn't me. I'm not the healer. Jesus is. When you remove all of religion, when you take off all of just vain words, and you just depend on Him instead of you. And I saw the results. I said, you have to start saying like this. By the grace of God, I will no longer have these migraines. By the grace of God, I will not have this. By the grace of God, what is grace? Unfavored mercy. Now, in that moment, the devil is persistent, but you have to be more persistent. If another pain comes, take it out with the authority of Jesus Christ. But again, that's part of rest. Thank you, Father. I believe that I receive it. One of the things that I said was this. One of the prayers is, Christ redeemed us the curse of the law. Thank you, Father. And you have to learn to depend. Give thanksgiving. The majority of people do not give thanksgiving. They don't. As I said, they're quick to do their 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 4 step by step, as in very everything is very technical, and you throw it all to waste. But when you depend on Him, praise you, Father. Now let's go to Psalms for a moment. Are you learning Psalms? Well, Brother Hughes, perhaps what would happen if in 3 minutes it hadn't happened, in 30 minutes it did? Well, in those 30 minutes, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you that we were saved more than 2,000 years ago in Christ. Hallelujah. Do you notice? You notice how you're just doing what I told you, receiving revelation of the love of God, because it was already paid for. How many understand that? As in, before you and I already behaved bad, before you and I were born on this planet Earth, before you and I did something good or bad, Jesus already paid for it. That's called grace. You understand it or no? You have to understand it. Many don't understand. They just say, oh, come on. In the afternoon, before coming to church, I fought with my old wife. But there it is, and you come very condemned. Condemned one. Not that it's right, but you can't walk in a conscience like that. How many of you know how to say glory to God? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Psalms 100. Hallelujah. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Where's Letty? Oh, she's with her daughter. Okay. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. That word serve means to praise. Let's see, verse 2. Perhaps King James has it that way. Yeah, there we go. Serve the Lord. Serve. That's what that word means, which was translated. Oh, yeah. It translated to serve, correct? But I told you that means praise. Part of praising is, so in whatever capacity you're in. But notice, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord loves you. Recognize. Know the finished works of Christ Jesus. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Again, not just praise and worship is not just the congregational part, but the many reasons why many Christians do not value it is because they personally do not have a life of praise and worship, which is why they don't value the congregational. Many say, oh, well, I arrived at that in time for the word. Well, now, very quickly, let's go Psalms. Psalms 96. Verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation. Help me with King James. Verse 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord. So sing, when we sing, we're praising God. And did you know that when we praise, and why when we sing, they should be filled with words of thankfulness to God. It's not just a song that I like or that you like. Yeah, it's fine that we like a song that it ministers to us, but it's because it ministers to God. It has nothing to do with feelings. Glory to God. I'm going to go a quick moment to Acts 19. I'm not going to be able to read the whole story, just due to time. But you already know it. Know the story, correct? Also, Paul and Silas, they had imprisoned them. They didn't just imprison them, but beat them. It's not about those prisons where they have a television or a gymnasium. I'm going to go very quickly, just due to time. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, part of our praise and worship. And the prisoners were listening to them. Very quickly before this, go to verse 23. Because some say, oh, Brother Hughes, how can I praise God with everything that's going on? I don't feel like praising Him. You don't have to feel like praising Him. Acts 16:23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, not saying that they just gave them 2 spankings, laying many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So I'm going to stay there just to understand this. Father, put an image to understand this. Paul and Silas were in those prisons years ago. Those prisons were very deep underground. It was very humid. There was people to the point where they died there. There was illnesses, rats, urine, excrement. It was a pit of infection. And Paul and Silas had been beaten to the point where their wounds were open, and sweating. And has your own sweat fallen on your wounds? It burns. Dehydrated. Tired. And you know what they do? They decided to praise God. They didn't sing and pray so that tremor could come by and so God can save them. They didn't know that was going to happen. They just praised God because that was their relationship with Him. That relationship. Instead of whining, instead of saying, God, where are you? Look at, we're serving you. Look at what they, and look at what you permit let happen to us. Fire. Many good things to learn from here. Started praising God. And that tremor came by. It wasn't the devil. The devil would have killed them as well. It was supernatural because no one died. The walls of the prison didn't fall. The devil would have provoked that. You know what? Started praising God. And that's something that you and I now have. Give thanks and we can praise God. 1 Corinthians now. Chapter 14. Can you help me with and so 14 or 16 that we studied. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, now we're learning about tongues and interpretation of tongues. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will He occupy the place of the uninformed saying Amen at your giving of thanks? So we can sing and praise and worship Spirit. Just give thanks to the God. Stand on your feet for a moment. We're not leaving just yet. But just stand on your feet for a moment. Don't put your things away because we're not done just yet. Just put it to a side for now. Just raise your hands where you are. Glory to God. Just say thank you. Thank you. Don't be worried, worried about what's going to come out of your mouth. Do you know how to say thank you? Do you know how to say hallelujah, glory to God? It's a Hebrew word which means glory to God, hallelujah, glory, Yah, from God, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, thank you, Father. Remember, it's you towards God. Don't worry about your neighbor, those who are near you, behind you. It's between God and you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the Bible says that when we pray in other tongues, the Apostle Paul said, continue thanking God. I'm going to read it here. So what shall I pray in the understanding? Shall I pray in the Spirit, but also pray in the understanding? I will pray in the Spirit, but I will also pray in the understanding. So we do this not just in the congregation, but it should be daily, every day, every moment. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. We receive your promises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing in our heart, in our bodies. Perhaps someone is ill. Perhaps someone is ill from a terrible illness, or perhaps someone has terrible pain. Thank you that because by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And perhaps you already took authority. You cursed that illness with the authority of Christ Jesus. You spoke to that illness. So now spend time praising God. It's part of rest. Hallelujah. You give thanks to God. You deliver yourself to Him. Let Him work. Let Him do what He needs. Let the Lord do what He has to do. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We put all worry, all problems over you in the name of Jesus. We don't accept it. It says, cast all anxiety over him. Well, there it goes. There goes all their anxiety on you, Lord. Glory to God. We are free now of all anxiety. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. I bless you, Lord. Thank you because you love us. Thank you that you are good with us. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you love us, that you have given us of your love, that you gave us the authority of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are with us. You give us your written word. Thank you that you are good, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for every one of my brothers in Christ. Thank you for everyone that comes and congregates in Life of Faith churches. Thank you for every faith partner. Thank you, because there are so many countries where they are being pursued by Christians. So many countries where they are told only 15 minutes, but here we decide when we can leave, at what time. Here, Father, thank you, or when you tell us. Thank you that we have a place in where we can congregate. Thank you that we have a seat in which we can sit. You see, when you start thanking God for what you have, you realize that it's more what you have than what you don't have. And when you give thanks to God for what you have, you focus on Him. You focus only on Him. Glory to God. And of course, you can use faith. Believe Him for what you don't have, but you're not desperate because you know that you have it. And you start saying thank you. Father, thank you for the new parking lot. A big amount of churches, especially in Europe, pastors who love God, who do their calling, where they don't have a parking lot. Over there in Europe, everything is very tight. This brother in Christ, pastor in Christ, who's graduated from Rema in Italy, he has a very small parking lot. Many of them, which is why they're congregating on Sundays, where when the businesses on the sides are not there, they take advantage to park there. We say, Father, thank you for our new parking lot. Thank you for our parking lot. Thank you that we always have that sidewalk available to us. Oh, Pastor, this church has such a way bigger parking lot. Well, glory to God. Will you thank Him for what you have right now? Father, thank you for our air conditioning. Glory to God. Thank you for our blankets, for those who have them. Well, to me too, even with the air conditioning, I have heat. Well, thank you for our new thermostat. Well, we can't do any more. Some of those are freezing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, because we have bathrooms. There are churches here in the North Continent where they have to go, in the South Continent where they have to go into the woods. They don't even have a drainage system. And those brothers in Christ, you see them and they praise God. You know what happens? Our comfort has made us lazy because we are not thankful for what we have. Hallelujah. You start thanking God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Oh, there you go, sister. Thank the Lord for that blanket. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You start thanking God. So close your eyes for a moment. Help me, Father. Spirit of God, help me. I don't know your home. Well, I know the homes of some of you, but not everyone. I haven't been there in all of them. I'm just going to depend on the Lord that He'll help me. Father, thank you. And start saying, when I mention things, remember what God has given you. And of course, you can believe for something better. I'm not saying that you can't. Of course. But thank you for what you have in this moment. Start saying, Father, thank you. Thank you. I'll start saying it. And you just say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When I say me, it's as if you're saying me or I. Father, thank you for my bed on where I can sleep. Thank you for my pillow. Oh, glory to God for my pillow. Father, thank you for my bathroom. Because I have a bathroom in where I can shower and do my necessities and brush my teeth. Father, thank you. Thank you. If you have air conditioning, Father, thank you for my air conditioning. Father, thank you for a couch in the living room where I can rest. Father, thank you for my table. Father, thank you that you provided meals for me today. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that today was another day in which I could walk. There are many people who are suffering on wheelchairs. There are those who can't walk for a disgrace that has happened in their lives. There are countries in at war, perhaps a grenade or rocket that hit them. We don't make fun of them. We call them the mercy of God over them. Father, thank you that we can walk. There are those who can't see. Father, thank you that we can still see. Thank you for our lungs. Now raise your hands. Raise your hands. Give them thanks. Give them thanks. Glory to God. Thank you for that cup of coffee that we drank today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that we could shower today or shave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you for our food for today. Amen. Thank you that we had no lack of food. Some of us had to put a guard on our mouths because we're in a lot of abundance. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for that bottle of water or that refreshment, that cold refreshment that I drank today. Father, thank you that there was something of food there in our fridge. Hallelujah. Thank you because there are millions of people in this planet Earth that have nothing to eat. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And then you use your faith to believe for something more than that. Perhaps you need to fix your bedroom, your bathroom. I don't know. Father, thank you that I have the funds to remodel what I'm living in right now. You start thanking God. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sit down for a moment. I'm about to finish. So we're going to see another example here to start closing up. You're going to like this. Another example of people who did not give thanks to the Lord. They did not recognize what they had. Why this is so important. Go to Mark 10. Give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to continue next week on this. Because on Sunday I want to continue on Job. Because what I'm preaching on that is so good. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17. Now as he was going out of the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Notice how he did something here. He said that came running to knelt before him. It's a type of recognition, supposedly, as you recognize the type of praise. But then by his actions, we could see that this man, he was neither in the rest of God, nor trusting in God. Time, you see people like that, don't criticize them, just left them here for us. Not to curse them, none of that. But we can learn to not do. Many of us could learn to do what they do. And others, we can learn to do what they learn to not do what they do. He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God, but one, that is God." So in other words, he was saying, if you call me good, it's because you believe that I am God. Amen. Remember, they lived under the Mosaic Law. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all of these things." Notice how he didn't call him good teacher. Notice that? Things started revealing what was in his heart, step by step. So let's see the first step here. He said, teacher. He didn't call him good teacher. All these things I have kept from my youth. Well, that's not true. No one could keep the law. First of all, Nora called him good teacher. He didn't like that anymore. Second, he told him a lie. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, criticized him. No, he said, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way. So in the Greek it says, and give to the poor. That's to say, give it all to the poor, because then you're going to be poor. It says, give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Or in other words, possessions had him. Notice it's not wrong to have possessions. It's when the possessions have you. So, but then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, before continuing, can you see what we see right now? This man did not believe in God. He hadn't received the revelation of the love of God. He didn't criticize him. He said he loved him. He said, well, yes, Lord, I will do everything that I have. I will sell it all. I'll do everything that you tell me. Another part I will give to the poor. Another part I will keep, and I will follow you. A good replacement for Judas. When we see that he didn't trust in God. You know why? And they don't believe, in other words. There's nothing that you can do. God said, until you believe, believing is an act of your free will. One more time. I'm going to put another example very quickly. Just to give you the example, because it's a clear example that you can understand. Especially Summer and Kayla wake up very early, much earlier than Anthony, very, very early, when it's still nighttime. As a routine, they start praying, and then Kayla changes and goes out to exercise, but Summer changes and goes and works with her animals. Summer comes, changes, and then exercises, and it's work for them. But why do you think they do what they do? Well, because it works. No, because they believe. What they believe, talking about them, they believe and they make an effort. Christians don't believe the Bible. And they always say it's because this, this, and that, with all due respect. Because if you believe something, you will make an effort. If you believe the word, you will make an effort in grace. The Lord will remove obstacles. You will use your authority to remove obstacles. The authority which Jesus gave you. Amen. I say this to help you understand. Haven't you noticed how people in the world and governments, they do things very bad that are putting society in prejudice, but they believe it, be it good or bad, they believe it and they'll do it. When you believe something, doesn't matter. You're going to do it. So if you believe the word, you're going to do it. You're going to start taking into account the Lord in the most minimum part. Glory to God. So Jesus, looking around, and said to his disciples, verse 23, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And again, be saying these things because I don't want to sound like I'm judging anyone. But this is another verse which many millions of brothers in Christ, they use to say that you should not be rich. Glory to God. It's not talking about that, but we'll see that later. This is a very complete study series. Study series is going to be very complete. So complete that this would be the second book that we're going to edit. Already being worked on. We're working on one, and we're going to be doing the other one in English and Spanish. And the disciples were astonished at his words. They were astonished because the disciples weren't poor. Rich is relative. If all of us, where we live, we go to where people in the area of Agua Prieta, where they live in houses made of carton, well, we're all rich to them. Rich is relative. Rich relative compared to who? Men. But if we compare ourselves to Elon Musk, well, yeah, Elon Musk, we're much poorer. But again, rich is relative. So I think we've already studied this before, but the disciples weren't poor people. They had their own businesses. And the disciples were astonished at his words because they thought, uh-oh, so we're not going to enter into the kingdom. Because if not, they would have said, oh, glory to God, we already made it. We're poor. But they were astonished. And Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? That's what happened here. Jesus said this because that's what happened with this young. They trusted in their riches. He was just trusting in his money. Your richness is what you have right now. If someone told you, oh, all I have in my bank account right now, or with me, is just $100. I don't have anything more. That's your rich. That's what you have right there. Those are your riches. Are you trusting on it, or are you truly trusting in God? And Jesus said again to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, who trusts, enter into the kingdom of God. But you can be rich and trust in God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. For Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Hallelujah. Oh, I can tell you by. Amen. Look. Houses and brothers and sisters. Amen. Glory to God. And mothers and children and lands. Would have been very good if it just finished right there, period, right? Very good. Would have been very good right there. Hallelujah. With persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Yeah, they will pursue us if we preach the gospel. One will say that we're preaching debauchery. Others will say that we're preaching prosperity. Others will say, and if we say that it's not based on houses or money, and say, they'll tell you that we're preaching legalism and poverty, and they'll just talk. Aren't you thankful, Lord, that we just continue with the instruction of the Holy Spirit? We can trust in God. That's trusting. Trusting that no matter what we have or what we don't have, God is my source. And if you and I always give this advice to people, even those who are newer, even those who ask me, who have more experience in the Lord. One time a pastor told me, and again, not criticizing, but he called me a Friday, because on Thursday, a long time ago, a couple months ago, perhaps even a year ago, I said, hey, I talked about giving, and I said, giving is part of the love of God. It's not an obligation. And the other day he called me and he said, hey, I wouldn't say that about what you said. No one's going to give. Well, I said, well, what happens is you heard in the wrong context. I said it to them and they already know my talking about you guys here, and they're instructed. But if you preach on giving out of obligation, yeah, they're going to give, but nothing's going to work out for them. first motive of giving is because you love God. But once you understand that and you give, now use your faith. Start believing that that money is multiplied. And one way or another, God will honor that obedience. It doesn't matter what situation we're going through. We're going to get out of it. Amen. Greatly. But your first motive is not like this man. This man said, no, I'm not going to leave my possessions. They don't let go of their possessions because they don't even recognize. Because when someone says, no, I recognize that by God, I have my job. I have what I have. I give things to God. There should be actions, corresponding actions to what you believe. Remember, we're not obligating anyone. But if you don't do it, it's because you don't believe. And if you don't believe, well, you're never going to prosper to the way of God. Glory to God to the government programs and this and that. Or you're going to be there all your whole life. I don't know if you noticed one thing. I notice sometimes. But as if, and we use all the faith that we have. I don't know if you noticed how we're not getting younger. Day by day, we're getting older. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know if you noticed that our body is changing. We can use faith and perhaps remove some of those effects of aging. I'm saying, do you think you plan on arriving like me? Old their whole life. They never prospered. They never let God prosper them or use them more in their finances to reach more people. Because they were always looking at the circumstance and they never decided to trust God, which says God gives seed to the sower. He will give you that seed. It says it very clearly. Brother Hughes, so why doesn't God give me seed? Well, there's two reasons for which I've seen, and perhaps there's more, but this is what I've seen the Lord has spoken to me about. First of all, God does not see you as a sower. Alex, notice. Put 2 Corinthians 9:10. We're about to leave, but put it up there. 2 Corinthians 9:10. He supplies seed to the sower. So what does it say? And he supplies seed to the sower. So if you don't believe in this, it's fine. You don't have to do it. But if you don't believe, then how can God give you seed? So the second reason is that God doesn't see you as a sower. He'll provide, he'll help you, perhaps government programs or through your family and this and that. Because you limit him. Understand that. I've told you, I know Christians here. I didn't give you the name of them. Not speaking bad about them. But I know this man who pretty old, and he showed me. I know his department, his government department there, how he has food stamps and how the health system comes in a van, takes him to Sierra Vista or Tucson if he has to go to the doctor, and he gives things to the Lord for that. That man, in the time that I've known him, God could never use them to reach other people. And years have gone by, and as I know, he still lives in the same place. Thank God. I mean, yeah, God is good one way or another. He takes care of his children. But do you want to live your life like that? Wouldn't you like to live a better life and being able to be a blessing to other people? First one is God gives seed to the sower. And if you're a sower, but you can be also eating the seed with the bread. That's another reason. Hallelujah. Holy Father, I thought, why am I tired? I saw a tired face on someone, and I thought, well, sir, it's also me. So there's two there. Or there's about four here of sleepy faces. But perhaps more, but what I'm trying to say is, oh, Father, but did you understand? The thing is that you understood. Now it's between you and the Father in giving. Amen. So beautiful when you sow and sow, and after a time you see the harvest. Not just for you, it's to share as well. Hallelujah. It's to bless other people.
I'm with that expectation. How many of you have that same expectation? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We will see it. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for those who are going to sow here at home, those who are going to sow via internet. If anyone sees us, our social media, if any of those extract any benefits from this word, and some of them see us on the web and in the internet. And use our downloads and our audios. If any of you see us constantly and you're constantly extracting information, pray in the Spirit and consider being a partner of Word of Faith Ministries in helping us expand the Word and reach more via television, radio, and internet materials that we give out, study guides that recently we sent some to Chihuahua, and USBs so they can connect to their speakers. I bless those seeds, and I bless those who are on the books and the study guides. We're not in the business to sell books. How many of you know we're not in that business to sell? But when someone pays or helps us buy something, it's just to help, because we don't keep the money. We don't even keep it for church. We use it to continue producing. Hallelujah. Anything you give or can give is for outreach. Books, internet, radio, study guides who are being made. It's all for Jesus' glory. We pray for all those materials. And we pray that, thank you, Lord, that you reach the heart of those who listen to this. Consider being a partner of Word of Faith. In other countries, there are ways you can give. Consider it. It's never an obligation. And go in prayer that if you are extracting an information, a spiritual information, be participant of anything good being done. Thank you, Lord, because you treat with each person. You work with them and bring a conviction to them. Thank you, because it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking. I trust the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And in that same unction, I cast out all worriness. Maybe someone has a heavy neck, or it's been a hard day for you. Maybe there's been problems or issues, maybe with family. With the authority of Jesus Christ, I cast out all that pressure. And I speak the peace of the Lord, the peace that overcomes all understanding, the grace and the favor of God, the good and the mercy that follows you all the days of your lives. Nothing is missing, even in hard times. Our pantries, our refrigerators are full by the grace.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.